It is good to be here tonight. This is one of the biggest crowds I think I've seen in a Missionary Baptist church in a long time. I told Brother Tim, I said, up home I'm used to this maybe, possibly, even get close to this on a Sunday morning, let alone a Wednesday night. I'm amazed at the crowd that's here tonight, but it's good to be here. And I do need your prayers tonight, not only that Brother Jeff Elliott's my pastor, but yes, I do need your prayers there. Brother Tim came to me this afternoon, and he gave me a little bit more warning than Brother Jeff does. He talked to me this afternoon at Old Union and asked me to come here, and I was fine with that. I was coming. But Brother Jeff, I've been walking into fellowship on Wednesday evening, and he'll send me a text as I'm walking into the door, can't make it, can you cover? So I got plenty of warning tonight, but it seems like even though I got plenty of warning, my heart's just going a million miles an hour in many different directions. So I do need you to pray this morning or this evening that God would help me to calm my nerves, to calm my mind and my heart and bring them together that I'd be able to deliver the word that He sees fit to be delivered this hour. Not what I think we need or I need, but what God would want for us to hear tonight from His word. Because that's what's important. That's what's important. It's not important about me. It's not important about Brother Tim. It's important about what God wants to hear, wants us to hear. Because He knows what you need, and He knows what I need, and He knows what every lost soul or saved individual in this city needs. And the main thing we all need is Him. Whether you're lost or saved here tonight, we've got that much in common. We need Him. We need His help as children of God to be able to praise His name in a manner that He would receive all honor and glory. And if you're here and lost tonight, you need His help in repenting to find Him. Have you ever witnessed the greatest of all miracles? I love that song. I love that song. Sung that song for many years in a group there. And I love the message in that song because it is the greatest of all miracles. You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, we read where they seen blind man to receive their sight, deaf to receive their hearing, the lame to walk, the issues of blood were dried up, the dead were raised. But the Bible strictly says that the greatest of all these miracles is the rebirth of a soul. Born again. And tonight, have you experienced God? I said that one time on a radio broadcast, and it got posted on the internet, and I had a gentleman email me and say, there's no way you can experience God. Well, if you've never experienced God, you've never been saved. Because God came to me and drawed me to Him, and that's when I first experienced God. When He showed me that I was lost and separated from Him. That's when I experienced God, and it was so much that I knew that it wasn't of anyone else. God comes to us in a way that only He can. And in a way to where there's not much doubt or confusion on what's going on. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. So if there's any confusion in your mind or heart tonight that you might be saved, you might not be saved, I want you to ask yourself, where's that confusion coming from? Are you looking for something in particular to happen in order to be saved? I grew up at Fellowship my whole life. If I remember the story right, my mom tells me I've been going there since I was 2 weeks old. So that's been a long time. And in that time that I grew up there at Fellowship, I learned to believe in Jesus Christ. I did. I was taught from the age of 2 weeks old and up, going to Sunday school, going to church, even at home, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if anybody was to ask me if I believed in Jesus being the Son of God, I looked at him and said, yes, I did. But it's more than just believing that there's a man named Jesus that walked here on this earth and that He claimed to be the Son of God. There's more to it than just believing that with your mind. There's a lot more, and I don't know what you're looking for here tonight, and I don't know where we're going to go with this, but we're going to go. But I don't know what you're looking for tonight. But I do know one thing, there's only one place to find it. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And so many people have told me when I talk about experiencing God, because when I do, I get excited because I start thinking about the goodness of God and how He just fills my heart and my soul and how He just takes up the whole room. When God comes in, we know it, don't we? How do we know it? You know, people have told me there's no feeling in salvation. The Bible describes it as peace. It says it's a peace that passes all understanding. And I don't know about you, but when there's a conflict going on and I get peace, I can feel it. I know there's a difference. The Bible teaches us that when we are born of God, that we became a new creature. There's a change. Something had happened that we know that something went on. Not that we think about it. Or not that sister so-and-so didn't shout so I couldn't have got it. Or I didn't stand up and sing. Brother Tim even told you that we sang all our lives growing up. And I used to think that when I got saved, I would stand up and begin to sing a song. And if I didn't, I wasn't saved. When I got saved, I want to tell you what happened. Guess what I didn't do? I didn't stand up and sing a song. But the night I got saved, there was just an overwhelming peace that flooded my soul. I was in trouble when God revealed to me that I was lost and separated from Him. Because you know what He revealed to me? He revealed more than just the words of lost and separated. He revealed to me that Jesus died in my place. He revealed to me what Isaiah so well put there in the 53rd chapter, that He took our sins upon Him, our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. It was all on Him because of us that He had to die. And that made me feel sick inside because I was the reason Jesus died. You know, salvation is very personal. It's personal. You know, there's a way of salvation that's taught out in this world to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I don't believe in acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but I do believe salvation is very, very personal. You must go one-on-one with the Great One in order to ever find salvation. It's personal. I told my son when he was seeking at a young age, I told him, I said, I've taught you all your life not to be selfish and to share. Son, right now I want you to be very selfish. I want you to see that you need this very badly. And tonight, it's going to be between you and God if you're ever going to find salvation. It's not going to be about anybody else. It's not going to be about what you're going to be doing later or what's going on in your life. Salvation, you're either going to be serious about it or you're never going to find it. If you've got more than something else going on in your mind and your heart and other than seeking God, you're not going to find Him. He wants that number one slot. He wants your full attention. As David said in the 116th Psalm, he found trouble and sorrow. The pains of hell got hold upon him. He realized that God was God and he was not. That he was a sinner in the sight of God. Well, I'm a good person. Now, I had a problem with that growing up. Call it pride. Call it whatever you want, but I couldn't figure out how a 9-year-old boy, when I first started seeking God, I never could figure out how a 9-year-old boy could be wrong in the eyes of a loving God. I've been taught all my life that I came out of my mother's womb speaking lies, that I was a sinner by birth. Taught all my life, but it never did make sense. And when I started seeking God, I couldn't figure out how in the world this little 9-year-old boy could do anything so wrong to deserve hell. And it took the power of God to show me. To show me that I wasn't a good little boy as I thought in my mind. I was a sinner in the sight of God. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there was only one thing that could take care of that, and that was the blood of Christ. And tonight, I don't care who preaches, I don't care who testifies, I don't care who tells you anything, unless God does. Because God is the only one that has authority to tell you you're lost and separated from God, and God is the only one that tells you you have the authority, or has the authority to tell you you've been saved by the grace of God. It's all through the power and authority of God. Salvation is all God and nothing else. The psalmist even said that salvation belongeth to God. And I don't know what you're looking for tonight. I don't know why you're here tonight. Do you? I hope you do. I hope you think about why you're here tonight. If you're here to save by God's grace, I hope you're here to serve Him and to praise Him and to give Him all honor and glory. Reading the 107th Psalm where it says, oh, then they would just praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works. Oh, you think about success.
The Bible also says in Isaiah, it tells us there that when Zion travails, son and daughters are born. What is part of that travailing? Going through the trials that we can witness and see God in our lives. You know, a lot of times when we're up on the mountain, we don't see God. Boy, when we're down in the valley, where's the first place we turn? We turn to God. So a lot of the times, I don't really like staying up here on the mountain because I forget who I am and where God is. A lot of times I like going down through the valley a little bit more because I see the hand of God. I see God working in my life. And when I see that, I see something else that happens because I begin to praise God. When I begin to praise God, I see people around me noticing something. They know something different about me. They know something's going on with me. There's a gentleman that works for me at work. He's got tattoos on his arms. One on this arm says no master. The other one says no gods. He's been working for me for about 3 years, and I've tried to approach him and talk to him about salvation, and it seems like the door's been slammed shut every single time. Here a few weeks ago, he came up to me and said, I heard something the other day that if I died and went to hell and someone else who was saved went to heaven, they wouldn't think about me anymore. I said, well, I don't know who told you yet, but I agree. He says, how in the world could a God that you say loves me so much and that you love me so much that wouldn't even care about me after I died? I said, let me talk to you about Jesus. And we got to talking, and we were able to talk about the experimental knowledge of salvation there in the shop. You know, my phone usually rings the full 8.5 to 9 hours I'm there. It usually don't nonstop. But for 45 minutes, my phone didn't ring once as we talked there about the experimental knowledge of God. Knowing who He was and being able to know that it's of Him that you are saved or that you're lost. Knowing that He not only died for you, but that He's willing to carry you through. I told him when we left that Friday, I said, I'm hoping when you come back Monday that your tattoos will change. He looked at me, he said, what do you mean? I said, I'm hoping that tattoo will change to say, one God and He's my master. I want you to understand that you can experience God. You can experience God. And you might say, well, I never realized I'm lost. And you might not have even realized it now, but I know that God can show you. You might not even understand what lost and separated means, but God can explain it. You know, Solomon wrote there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. You know, that's where we get tied up a lot of times as church kids. We get tied up in salvation a lot because we try to understand it because it's not exactly the way we've been heard it all our life. We hear these experiences that this one had or that one had or this one had over here. I want you to understand. We all must come to Christ the same way through repentance and faith. But I want you to understand, you might not be here on this altar when you're saved. You might be in a car somewhere. You might be in a submarine somewhere. You might be out in the woods somewhere. You might be at home. It might be a little different for you in that aspect, but you will come the same way. Because Jesus says, I am, and that's singular. And I hope that we understand that today. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to understand today that it is very singular. It is very personal. And you can experience it even tonight. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what's standing in your way. If you're lost and separated from God, I don't know where you're at in that journey trying to find God. I don't know what you're expecting to happen or what you're expecting you to have to do. But I want you to understand, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. And he drops down to the next verse and he says, acknowledge God and He will direct your path. If you don't know where to go from here or if you've been seeking for a while, I sought for almost 3 years before I found God and I didn't know where to go until the night I acknowledged that God was God and I couldn't do nothing else. And He directed my path right to Him. And He helped me get over the rest of the way because I couldn't do it. Salvation is not of yourself. You cannot do it of yourself. It's of God and God only. And you must experience it in order to have it. It's called a rebirth.
If you're born again, you understand something has happened. You might not be able to explain it perfectly. You know, the day I was born back in 1971 on March 6th, I couldn't explain to you a bit what happened. I couldn't. The day I was saved by God's grace when I was 11 years old, I couldn't explain to you what happened. But both dates, I knew something had changed. Something had happened. If you're looking for something to happen in this flesh, I want you to say, understand this. You know, I've heard people say when they got saved, they looked up, so-and-so is the most beautiful person in the world. Well, if you get saved and you look up at me, don't be scared if I'm not the most beautiful person in the world, because I'm not right now. What has changed is not the outward appearance. What has changed with you is not the outward appearance, but the inside has changed. And when that change takes place, that light that shines on the inside will come out and people will see a difference in you. You might look the same. Your appearance might not change. As we get older, our appearance changes a little bit. But down and down, we're all still the same. We still look the same. We still have some of the same actions. But what has happened? Something has changed inside. There's a change. Something you don't hear about in the world very much when they teach about salvation. They don't talk about the change that takes place. Because it's something new. He said, behold, old things are passed away. All things are made new. You're a new creature in Christ. It's new. And when something new, it's exciting, isn't it? It's very exciting. I know my boys, during Christmas, they got a new toy. It's the best day ever. That's all I heard. It's the best Christmas ever until the next thing came along. And then it was the next best thing ever. And then I believe one of them just lost a tooth here recently, and he got something for it, and he said, it's the best day ever. But you want to know what? Though things change in life, the best day ever has been when God saved my soul. That has never changed. Even though the world changes daily, the day God saved my soul has never changed. I'm one of the people, I couldn't tell you the exact day when God saved my soul. I knew something changed. If you're expecting to remember the exact time on the clock, the exact color of the moaner's bench or what's going on around, who is singing what, who is sitting where, or whatever, get over it. Quit trying to figure it out that way. Quit trying to look and see what's going on around you and get down to business, which the business is seeking God. Seek ye the Lord with all thine heart. Call upon Him while He is near. He goes on, He tells you how to get there. He said, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. And our God will abundantly pardon him. Today, if you want sweet peace, if you want that pardon, you're going to have to forget everything else around you. And you're going to have to seek out God. And God only. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter if there's singing. It doesn't matter if there's praying. We can pray with you, but we cannot pray for you. The prayer from salvation is going to come from you, not from us. Whether we gather around and we pray for hours with you or not, whether we sing for hours or not, is not salvation. Or whether you seek God for hours or years or months or days. My son told me once, when I was talking to him about salvation, I haven't sought after God long enough yet to be saved. Brother Tim said, what do you mean? He said, well, I hear of all these people that have sought God for years and finally found salvation. He said, I haven't sought God long enough. I said, son, if God's drawed you, you are to seek then and then only. Not worry about how long it takes you or worry about how long the road might be. You seek then and you find. Well, that's the first time you seek. Or the second, you seek God. You seek God. It's not a marathon, you see, because the Bible says that none of us have a promise of tomorrow. We are all guaranteed death, but none of us are guaranteed life. Once appointed a man to die and then the judgment. I don't see anywhere in the book where it says, once appointed a man another day, and then another day, and then another day. The Bible teaches us that our life is like a vapor. That our life is here today and gone tomorrow. I don't care how old you get to. And I used to think my dad was crazy. Well, he still might be a little bit. But
I used to think he was really just plumb crazy when he'd say, "Time just gets so fast. It seems like just yesterday I was your age, son." I'm like, whatever. Now, a teenager growing up, it seems like time just drags. Drags. I couldn't wait till I was 16 to get my license. I couldn't wait till I was 18 to move out. Couldn't wait till them days to come. Now I'm 46. Seems like just yesterday I was 16 beginning to drive. I was 18 moving out, 19 moving back in. See, time stands still for nobody. But it seems like the older you get, the quicker time goes. I don't know if that's just a thing in the mind or what, but time just seems like it's going so fast nowadays. It seems like time's running out for each and every one. The Bible says when we hear the last trump, time shall be no more. And I believe we're right on the edge of hearing the last trump. You read the book, it's all right there. I believe the only thing we're waiting to hear is the last trump and Jesus to come back. And it could happen today. I don't know. We've been saying that for how many years now? They've been saying it since he left. But the Bible tells us, and I believe it with all my heart, that no man knoweth the hour. He said, not even the angels in heaven know the hour. And then he said, I believe it's in Mark's writings, that not even the Son of God himself knows the hour, but only the Father which is in heaven. So you see, it could happen in any moment. And you've probably heard this your whole life. It could happen at any moment, and it hadn't happened yet. But what about the next moment when it does happen? Where will you be? Where will you be when the earth stops spinning? And time is no more. Where will you be? I know where I'll be. I do. The Bible's real specific on where you'll be according to where you stand in the sight of God. Whether you're lost or saved determines where you'll be. You might say, well, it's not going to happen to me. It can't happen to me. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. And it can happen now. If there's doubt in your heart, it won't happen. But I pray that God will take that doubt and turn it into trust. And you know He can do that tonight. Quit trying to understand salvation. I don't know how God saves a soul, but I do know why. The Bible is very specific on why He does. And you can just go to one verse, one of the most popular verses in America and the world today, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In that manner of love, God loved you so much to not only to send His Son, but His Son, God the Son, died on the cross for you. Mind-blowing to me. It's just beyond my imagination on how He could love me so much. One that has rejected Him. I had a thought this afternoon sitting there, or this morning actually, sitting there at Old Union. Something was said. And I thought about, I heard something on the radio the other day about somebody saying something about rejecting God, and their comeback was, "Oh no, you just didn't." Well, tonight I want you to know, you don't need to reject God. Oh no, you just didn't do that, because it could be your last moment. Your last moment to seek Him. Tonight? Why not tonight? We sang that song, and I know I hadn't read anything, that's fine. But we've sang that song all my life. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not? Oh, why not tonight? What is stopping you tonight from finding peace? What is standing in your way tonight? Why can't you find God? Have you thought about these things? Quit thinking about them and just trust Him. You know, it's one of the things that I had a hard time with when I was seeking God, was trying to Why? I didn't even ask our pastor at the time, Elder Calvin Perry, why? Why can't I get to God? And he was pretty stern. He was pretty blunt. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, because you're not trying. And I looked at him and said, Brother Perry, I'm trying with everything I have. He said, it's a problem. Quit trying with what you have and try God. It didn't make sense to me at the time. What do you mean, try God? Well, you know what that word believe, if you totally break it down, you get down to the main bones of the definition, is to totally entrust your whole being. In other words, laying your life in His hands. Giving Him your life. Everybody says you got to give up this and that and this. Well, you got to give up your life to Him. I'm not saying you got to work for Him. That's the way you're saved. I'm saying you got to totally entrust in what He's given you. That's salvation. You got to totally entrust in His Son. You got to totally entrust in that belief that He is the Savior of the world. You got to totally entrust everything that you have, and that's not easy to do. But it isn't impossible either. Because God said, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. You see, you need the direction of God tonight. A lot of times we hear that to those that are saved. If you're here and lost tonight, you need the direction of God. You need God to show you what you must do to be saved. A preacher can preach that he's blue in the face, what you must do to be saved. But if God, the Holy Spirit, does not take it deep down in your heart, we can't do anything. It's all His power. And tonight, that's what you need. You need the realization of who He is and what He can do and what will happen if it doesn't happen. Now, I don't know if I made sense at all to anybody here tonight. But I know you can realize who God is. I know from experience that you can experience God. I know from experience that God can show you that you're lost, that God can show you that you're saved, that God can show you how to get from being lost to being saved. And it's all of God. I understand that and know that. But that's about all I understand about it. And tonight, if you're looking for your own understanding, if you don't get anything else out of this, follow what Solomon said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Quit trying to figure out how to seek God and just seek God. Quit trying to figure out how to be saved and just fall into God's arms. Because He's the only one that can. And He will. He's wanting to even tonight. The Bible tells us it's the will of the Father that everyone, man, woman, and child, come to Him in repentance. That's the will of the Father. The Bible says that you must do His will. Well, that's His will, is to come to Him in repentance. Trusting in Him. What is repentance? Isaiah tells us. Isaiah tells us that we are to seek the Lord with all our heart. I'm getting my verses all tied together here. Seek you, Lord, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And then He tells us all about repentance. He tells us how to do it. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to God. That's repentance. I don't need a long Webster definition to understand what it is. God's very specific in what it is. So tonight, if you haven't found Him, or if you can't find Him, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge who He is. Let Him direct your path to Him. And you'll find Him. And it might be at the altar. It might be in the pew. It might be in the back. It might be at home. But you're going to come the same way as I did, through repentance and faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But tonight, you can experience it. You can know it. You can desire it. And you must desire it in order to find it. You must want it in order to receive it. Because if you don't want it, you won't seek for it. If you don't seek for it, you'll never find it. If you never knock on the door of heaven with a prayer seeking after God, He'll never be open. If you never ask, you will never receive. So tonight, why not? How about it? Why not? Why not tonight? Tonight could be your night. Could night be the night that you experience something that you've never experienced in your life? A thrill that you have never experienced in your life. You know, there for a while, I wasn't even midlife yet, and they said I might have had a midlife crisis. I went on an adrenaline rush. I went bungee jumping, white water rafting, all this stuff looking for an adrenaline rush. But nothing has compared that I've ever done to the rush of salvation. That peace that flooded my soul. When David spoke about his cup that runneth over, that's just a bunch of words until you experience it. It's something that I can't put into words exactly, but I know it is something that is true. Not just because I read it, but I've experienced it. You know, I've said I went bungee jumping. I've done it once. I'll never do it again in my life. Never do it again. Probably one of the stupidest things I ever tried. But salvation in God was the greatest thing I ever tried. And you know what? I still try Him today. And He's always there. So tonight, why not? I'm going to hush. Why not? Tonight would be a good night. Doesn't matter what it is outside. Doesn't matter what's going on later. But tonight could be a good night. For you tonight. Tonight could be a good night for those who are saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What's He talking about? Testimony of salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm actually going to hush. God bless you, my friend.